Vandeham. Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Savana Raghunatham Idam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhu Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitanscha Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Astotara Satasi Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Astotara Satasi Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishna Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premse Kaho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadigaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hariribo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So today, we will read two verses from the Bhagavad Gita that discuss the descent of the Lord or his representative. I will just read the Sanskrit. It's on the board. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijam yaham. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijam yaham. Please repeat. Yada yada. Whenever and wherever.
He
certainly. Dharmasya, of religion, glani, discrepancies, bhavati, become manifested, bharata, O descendant of bharata, abhyutanam, predominance. Adharmasya.
Adharmasya.
Of irreligion. Tada. At that time. Atmanam. Self. Shijami. Manifest. Aham. I. So the Bhagavad Gita, which we are reading, was spoken by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore the pronoun I refers to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I will go on to the next verse. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Paritranaya.
For the deliverance
Sadhunam
of the devotees.
Vinashaya
for the annihilation.
Cha
and
Duskritam
of the miscreants.
Dharma,
principles of religion.
Samstapanarthaya,
to reestablish.
Sambhavami,
I do appear.
Yuge,
millennium.
Yuge,
after millennium.
Translation.
To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. Please repeat. To deliver the pious,
and to annihilate the miscreants,
as well as to reestablish the principles of religion.
I myself appear
millennium after millennium. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualification of Krishna consciousness wholly and fully, he is to be understood to be a sadhu. And Duskritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants or Duskritam are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education. Whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may be neither learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons. But the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees, who are always harassed by the demonic. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudeva were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appears primarily to deliver Devaki rather than to kill Kamsa. But both were performed simultaneously. Therefore, it is said here that to deliver the devotee and to vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. Now, this next section is coming to the specific point we're going to discuss in relation to Christmas, or in relation to the descent of Jesus Christ. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishna Das Kaviraj, the following verses, Madhya 20, 263 and 264, summarize these principles of incarnation. Shristi hetu ye murti prapanchane avatare se ishvara murti avatara namadare mayatita paravyome sabara avastana vishve avatari dare avatara nama. The avatar, or incarnation of Godhead, descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead who so descends is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. And when they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. Literally, avatar means one who descends. There are various kinds of avatars, such as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Lila avatars, Shaktyavesh avatars, Manvantara avatars, and Yuga avatars, all appearing on schedule all over the universe. But Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all avatars. Lord Sri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of the pure devotees who are very anxious to see him. In his original Vrindavan pastimes, therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. So, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has stated that Jesus Christ comes in the category of Shaktyavesh avatar. Avatar, as we discussed, means one who descends. Shakti means energy or potency. And a Shaktyavesh avatar is one who has been invested with the energy or the potency of God. And thus, it's mentioned in the purport to the previous verse. That the avatar speaks as much about religion as can be understood by the particular people under their particular circumstances. But the mission is the same, to lead people to God consciousness and obedience to the principles of religion. Sometimes the Lord descends personally, and sometimes he sends his bona fide representative in the form of his son or servant, or himself in some disguised form. So, Jesus Christ came Shaktyavesh avatar, and he taught the basic principles of religion or God consciousness. And in that sense, he was a guru or teacher. Now, a guru, he will impart knowledge of God and service to God to his disciples. And when the disciples surrender to him, he accepts their sinful reactions. This is a very significant point. And in the Christian tradition, people have the understanding that Jesus accepted the sinful reactions of his disciples. Now, the effect of that compassionate, merciful act of the spiritual master should be that the disciple becomes very wary and cautious, that I should not engage in any sinful activity. Otherwise, my spiritual master will have to suffer. By sin, we mean any action that is against the laws of God. It's like crime within the state is an action which is against the laws of the land. So sin is any action which is against the laws of God. So we should be very careful. We should know what are the laws of God, and we should obey them. Otherwise, our spiritual master will have to suffer for our misbehavior. So that knowledge should have a very sobering effect on us. But sometimes, Christians or anyone could have that sort of callous idea that I can go on with my sinful activities and poor Jesus will accept the reactions for me. So that is not the idea by any means. And in fact, that approach does not work. It is an offense. Namno bala yesi hi papa buddhi. In the 10 offenses against the holy name, one is to commit sin on the strength of chanting the holy name. This is a variation of the same offense. But it is a fact that if one surrenders to a spiritual master, the spiritual master will accept the disciple's sinful reactions. But the disciple should be very careful thereafter not to engage in any sinful activities. Now, there is a statement attributed to Jesus Christ that none come to the Father except through me. Now, there is some controversy about that statement amongst biblical scholars, whether that attribution is actually accurate. But Srila Prabhupada did accept the truth in that statement, that none come to the Father except through me, to mean that none can approach the Father directly, but one must approach through his representative or his servant, the spiritual master. And in that way, Srila Prabhupada accepted the spiritual truth of that statement, not limited specifically to the person of Jesus Christ, but to the principle that one cannot approach the Father directly, but one must approach him through his representative or servant. So Jesus Christ Shakta Vaishavatar and a very exemplary person for us, how he dedicated his life to preaching the message of Godhead, even at the cost of his life in the end. Of course, as Srila Prabhupada says, it would be superficial to consider that Jesus Christ died, but still, apparently, he certainly gave his life to preach the message of God, and in the end, he was crucified for that work. So we should also be in that mood of, sacrificing our life for the service of the Lord and not holding back anything. There's a very significant section in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam which describes in figurative terms the disappearance or death of the spiritual master. And in this account, the spiritual master is the husband of a queen. And after her husband dies, the queen prepares herself to enter into the funeral pyre. And this is a tradition. Of course, it was done voluntarily. Sati, it is called sati. But later, as the spiritual values and culture of India declined, it happened that sometimes a wife was forced to enter the fire against her will, and then the British outlawed that practice. But taking the spiritual essence of it, Srila Prabhupada explains that just as the queen was ready to give up her life into the funeral pyre of her husband, the spiritual master, the disciple of the spiritual master, after the departure of the spiritual master, should be ready to lay down his life for the service of the spiritual master. Or he should prefer to die than to fail to execute the mission of the spiritual master. So this is the example we have from Jesus Christ and from all of the acharyas in our line. Srila Prabhupada also, he did risk his life literally, coming to America at the advanced age of 69 years by steamship. And on the way, he had two heart attacks. And he thought if he had another one, he won't survive. But then he had a dream that Lord Krishna and his various incarnations were taking charge of the boat, rowing the boat. And thus he felt assured of Krishna's protection, and he did reach the shores of America safely and began the Krishna consciousness movement. And at many stages along the way, he risked his life. Of course, not unnecessarily, but preaching as such that there is danger. Of course, there's danger all the time for everyone. But generally, people are very attached to their bodies and try to do whatever they can to protect their bodies. But in the case of Srila Prabhupada and other great acharyas, one example that comes to mind is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He risked his life to uphold the principles of dharma or religion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we have parampara. Parampara means literally one after the other. So, for example, my spiritual master is Srila Prabhupada. His spiritual master is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. His spiritual master was Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And his spiritual master was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the magistrate, very high position, especially during British rule. It was about the highest position an Indian could hold. So he was a magistrate. And so the British government received a complaint that there was an imitation god in a rural area of Orisha, the state of Orisha, where Jagannath Puri is and where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was posted. And he was claiming to be Krishna and having rasa dance, rasa lila, with innocent ladies. In case you don't know what the rasa dance is, the original rasa dance is depicted in that painting over there. It is a dance in a circle. And Krishna, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he expanded himself into multiple forms. So there is one Krishna between every two gopis. But each gopi thought Krishna is with her alone. But there are many Krishnas, and he was, one Krishna, but in many forms, and he was between two gopis, and then he was in the middle of the circle with Radharani. So this miscreant, Duskritina, this miscreant, was claiming that he was Krishna, and he was having these young ladies come in and dance and sport with him. So the complaint, there were some foolish people, they were actually sending their daughters and wives to dance with him or whatever they did. But there were some sane men also, so they lodged a complaint with the British government. And the British government thought, you know, this is a case for Kedarnath Dutta. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's a Hindu and he's competent, and we'll let him deal with it. So he went to that place with some constables in plain clothes, and that yogi, he had some mystic powers. So he said, "Oh, Kedarnath Dutta, you have come to see me. Don't take any action against me. You leave me alone, I will make you the king of India." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very intelligent, very diplomatic, he said, Why are you in this remote area? You should come to Jagannath Puri. That's an important place. And that man said, "Oh, Jagannath, he's just a piece of wood." So that was a very great offense. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard that, he became like fire, because devotees don't tolerate. Personally, they tolerate anything, but they don't tolerate offenses against the Lord or other devotees. So he had that yogi arrested. Now that yogi had mystic powers. And after being arrested, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his whole family came down with a very high fever. In fact, it appeared that he wanted to kill them all, but it was going on as a very high fever. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife said, "You know, he's going to kill us. You know, you made a mistake. You shouldn't have arrested him. He's going to kill us. You should let him go. Otherwise, we'll all die." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is on the subject of giving one's life, being prepared to lay down one's life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "You know, I don't care if we all die, but this rascal, this miscreant, Duskritana, must be punished." So the time for the trial came, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was ill, but he went to the courtroom, and he ordered that the yogi's hair be cut. And everyone was afraid. Nobody would do it. They were all afraid. You know, he's Vishnu. We could be punished. We could die. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took the barber's shears and he personally cut the yogi's hair. Now, this is significant because yogis have powers in their hair. Even in the Bible, there's a story of Samson and Delilah. Samson, he was a very, very powerful man, but he lost his power when his hair was cut. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took the barber's shears and he personally cut the yogi's hair and, sentenced him to be punished. And then eventually that yogi admitted that he wasn't Vishnu and committed suicide in jail. But the point is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was ready to risk his life, and that is the mood of all exalted devotees, genuine devotees. But again, as Prabhupada said about the death of Jesus Christ, only superficially he died. Because actually there is no death for the soul, for any soul. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. And what to speak of a servant of the Lord. So these are our exemplars. It's also risky to accept disciples, as the spiritual master accepts their sinful reactions. But devotees who are compassionate and merciful by nature, they take risks to preach the message of Godhead and to deliver the fallen souls for the pleasure of their spiritual masters and Krishna. Now, we read that whenever there is a decline in religiousness and a predominant increase in irreligion, the Lord descends. So sometimes people say, well, what about now? I mean, there's certainly so much irreligion and so little genuine religion. Why doesn't the Lord descend now? Well, he has descended. Because in the same scripture, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated, Kali Kaler Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. In the age of Kali, that's the present age that we're in, Kali Kalera, Nama Rupa, the holy name, Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in the form of the holy name, or the avatar for Krishna. In Kali Yuga is the holy name. And we can get all the benefits of Krishna's personal presence by chanting the holy name of Krishna without offense. And when we chant purely, we actually realize that the holy name is Krishna fully. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigra, fully Krishna in every respect. And therefore we always emphasize the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Dharma, we have been speaking so much about Dharma. And Dharma is raising his hand. Well, this is Dharma Das. Yes, Dharma Das.
Thank you, Maharaj. I'm trying to become Dharmic. It seems like as devotees were struggling that... And I loved your class today. Thank you so much, and thanks for being here. That we're supposed to take risks. We take risks as devotees, and really advanced devotees, it seems like the risks they're given are really amazing, and they do amazing things. But for us, what kind of risks are we, what's thrown at us? In particular, because it seems like the greatest burden, me personally, is like laziness. It's not a question of doing something that's scary. It's more a question just overcoming, you know, really grossly crusted in things in our heart.
Well, I mean, in other language, you could say you're attached to staying in your comfort zone. And so... we're being called to come out of our comfort zone. One of our main methods for distributing the message of Godhead is to distribute books. So when we come out of our comfort zone to distribute books, in a way we're taking a risk because we don't know how people will react. I mean, it's not likely that they will do physical violence. Although when I was preaching in Pakistan, we did have some close calls. But generally, it's not that kind of a risk. But, you know, you might be insulted or rejected. But we should come out of our comfort zones and do our part to spread the message of Godhead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for an amazing lecture today. My question is, all through the Bhagavad Gita, when Srila Prabhupada translates very well so for us in English, the message that he delivers to all his devotees is the goal here is to completely surrender to Krishna. And we as devotees should be intelligent enough to realize that Krishna is our well-wisher, our best friend who has best interest in his heart, and he knows what's best for us. So keeping this in mind, why is it for us as devotees the biggest challenge is to surrender to Krishna completely? Why is it a challenge for the devotees to do that?
Well, he's saying that, I'm again like paraphrasing, that he knows in theory that Krishna is our best friend and well-wisher, and that surrendering to him is in our best interest. But still we hesitate. Is that what you're saying? So what is the question?
Why is it so difficult for devotees to surrender completely, and why is it so much of a challenge for devotees?
Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the mind can be our best friend or our worst enemy. The mind is the agent of the false ego. And the false ego is always thinking, why should I surrender to Krishna? Everyone should surrender to me. And the mind supports that conception. So we have to control the lower self with the higher self. And as explained in the Bhagavad Gita, higher than the mind is the intelligence. So we have to control the mind with the intelligence and surrender to Krishna. So why is it so difficult? Well, one answer could be that your mind is out of control of your intelligence, out of the control of your intelligence. So you have to strengthen your intelligence. And there are two main methods for strengthening your intelligence. Shishu Radha Kala Chanji Ki Jaya. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jaya. Shishi Bharati Thai Ki Jaya. One way to strengthen your intelligence is by hearing. It's like you're sitting here and hearing the message of the Bhagavad Gita. So that hearing will strengthen the intelligence. And the other way to strengthen it is to use it. Just like if you want to build up your muscles, you exercise. You use your muscles and they become stronger. So if you use your intelligence, exercise your intelligence, it will become stronger. And the exercise is to use your intelligence to control your mind. And it may be a battle. In fact, when we chant japa, we face that battle. Our mind doesn't want to hear the holy name of Krishna. Our mind wants to go somewhere else. And our intelligence has to, you know, control the mind and bring it back to the sound of the holy name. And it is a battle. But one day that battle has to be fought. And won. So you have to work at it, practice. Srila Prabhupada said, practice makes perfect, even in spiritual life. How many rounds a day do you chant? 16? Good. Good. And do you read Srila Prabhupada's books every day? Good. Okay, now just work on the quality. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dharmat Pranam. Maharaj, I need to ask you, like, when Srila Prabhupada said that when you go to preach, preach like a lion, and when you're in the Vaishnavas, be like a rabbit, right? So then when we go outside and we preach, do we need to tell them the, like, these details? Or how do we start with them, specifically when they are non-devotees? How do we explain them that Krishna is the Supreme Lord? They might ask that, how about this God? And how about this, when it is now over here, when they ask, like, how about Jesus Christ? Then how do we explain them? Do we go into the details? Because we also are scared to go into the detail to not offend them.
Are you doing this in the context of distributing books?
Book distribution, yes.
Well, the main thing is they should take the book. I remember once I was visiting a family, a nice family, of Indian origin. And the mother, means the grandmother, you could say. The grandmother, she's very pious, and the daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter really adored her, and she was very nice. But at a certain stage, she started to speak impersonal nonsense. And I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And I thought, you know, I could call her a fool and a rascal, but it would sort of spoil the whole mood of the meeting. So I thought, well, let her read Srila Prabhupada's books, and Prabhupada will call her a fool and a rascal. And so I asked her if she had Prabhupada's books. She wasn't that fluent in English, so I arranged for Hindi. So the main thing is that they should take the book. And if they ask questions, I think the main thing is to get them to take the book and then to read the book and to come to the temple, associate with devotees, take prasad. I think those are the main things. And so we don't have to give a detailed answer to every question. But if they speak something that's offensive, then we have to respond. Of course, we could always say, you know, I'm sure you didn't mean what you just said. No, you definitely didn't mean what you just said. No, and just like sort of brush it off like that. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, there was a senior to him, Brahmananda Bharati. And for some reason, Brahmananda Bharati was wearing a deer skin. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like pretending like he didn't see him. And his associates said, oh, look, there's Brahmananda Bharati. Said, no, that can't be Brahmananda Bharati. He would never wear a deer skin. And then Brahmananda Bharati understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not approve of this. And then he left it. So, yeah, we should try to, but also pray. I did that. I always did that, or even I still do in a pray to Krishna in the heart of the person to give them the intelligence to take the book and, give them the inspiration to take the book. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we hear in classes sometimes about Jesus Christ, like Haridas Thakur. he could not be killed because he was under the protection of the Lord, that just like Haridas Thakur, they considered him dead, but he couldn't kill him. And when Jesus was on the cross, they poked him with a stick and blood started to pour out. Or, you know, a dead body doesn't have, blood doesn't pour out of a dead body. I was wondering if there's any direct quote that you know of Prabhupada speaking on that subject in relation to Jesus, that, or it was just a conclusion that devotees came up with.
Oh, I never heard Prabhupada comment on that. But yeah, he gave a lot of credit to Jesus for the reception of Krishna consciousness in the Western countries. Yeah. Of course, it was out of humility, but yeah, he did say that because of Jesus Christ, the people in the Western world are able to accept Krishna consciousness. Once someone asked Srila Prabhupada that it is said that Jesus will come again, I guess the second coming. And Prabhupada said, it's sort of like, what would be your reaction? And Prabhupada said, oh, Jesus will come again? Well, that is very good news. We will welcome him. We will welcome him. Someone, yes.
Maharaj, another thing that I heard about, I've heard some devotees say that Jesus Christ trained as a brahmachari in India before he started his movement. I was wondering if you knew any quotes about that.
Well, there are accounts of Jesus spending time in India. And there was one book called The Aquarian Gospel that purported to give an account of Jesus in India. So it's possible. In fact, there's even some people say there's a tomb of Jesus in India, that afterwards he came to India. It's possible. Why not?
Anyone else? One last question by any chance? Okay.
I was going to add something. It's not so philosophical, but on that point, like, that Jesus will come again. That's very good news. We will welcome him. So one of Prabhupada's disciples, named Shankadas, very sweet devotee, he's in Alachua now, he spoke to Prabhupada about UFOs, you know, unidentified flying objects, you know, like flying saucers. So he asked Srila Prabhupada that if we see a UFO is coming and is going to land, what should we do? And Prabhupada said, run. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj ki. Shri Radha Kalachanji ki. Gaur Prema.